The interesting claim here is that tabular machine learning might finally lose the ceremonial sacrifice to the hyperparameter gods.
I know. Google says you hand TabFM a table with historical rows and target rows, and it predicts in one forward pass. That is a much bigger workflow claim than we trained another model that likes spreadsheets.
Exactly. And I'm doing fine this week, by the way. Slightly over full brain, but operational. How are you?
Functional, which is the highest confidence category in our internal wellness benchmark.
Great. We've been doing Exploring Next for 8 months, and we've invented a wellness benchmark.
It's a leaderboard with one row and a lot of missing data. Anyway, the core move is in-context learning for tables. The model sees training examples and the rows it needs to predict together, rather than learning a new set of weights for every data set.
Right.
That matters because the painful part of traditional tabular work is rarely calling XGBoost. The pain is the loop around it. Feature engineering, searching hyperparameters, cross-validation, retraining, checking calibration, and doing that again when the data changes. TabFM is trying to make the table itself the task description.
And this is where I think the product story is unusually clean. A lot of foundation model language gets pasted onto workflows that still need a small research team behind them. Here, the promised user experience is concrete. Bring a table, ask for classification or regression, get a prediction.
The architecture is doing real work to make that plausible. Tables aren't sentences, they're two-dimensional, and swapping rows or columns shouldn't change the meaning. So TabFM alternates attention across columns and rows to learn feature interactions. Then it compresses the information for each row into one dense vector. A separate transformer works over those row vectors instead of attending over the whole raw grid. That borrows the efficient part of tab ICL, while the row and column processing echoes tab PN. The point is to preserve structure without making inference explode as tables get larger.
That's the bit I like. Zero shot can sound like the model has mystical table intuition, but there's a mechanism here. It's learning the shape of a new data set inside the prompt, and the compression step is basically a compute budget decision.
Yes, although the phrase still needs a little asterisk. It removes task-specific weight updates and tuning in the default configuration. It doesn't remove data cleaning, deciding what the target means, or asking whether the rows represent the world you care about.
There she is. The tiny footnote department has arrived.
The department is understaffed, Justy.
Fair.
The bigger technical gamble is the training data. Google says TabFM is trained on hundreds of millions of synthetic datasets generated with structural causal models and many random functions. That's understandable because large, diverse industrial tables are proprietary, sensitive, and just not available in the open. But synthetic variety is not automatically the same as coverage of messy business semantics.
Right, and the benchmark is meaningful but bounded. They use Tab Arena, with 38 classification datasets and 13 regression datasets, ranging from 700 to 150,000 samples. The default TabFM runs in one pass. Then TabFM Ensemble adds cross features, singular value decomposition features,
That distinction is important. The ensemble may be the stronger practical recipe, but it weakens the pure one forward pass and done story. It's still far less manual than a traditional pipeline, but it is no longer just the model reading the table once and making the call.
I don't think that kills the product. Most teams don't care whether the workflow fits a philosophical definition of zero shot. They care whether the default is good enough, whether the ensemble is available when accuracy matters, and whether somebody can operate it without building a miniature AutoML monastery.
And the article says TabFM outperforms heavily tuned industry standard algorithms on those evaluations. I'm interested, but I'd want the detailed per-fold metrics and head-to-head win rates from the GitHub results before treating that as universal. ELO is useful for a living benchmark, yet it compresses a lot of behavior into one rating.
That's a reasonable ask, not your usual all benchmarks are secretly theater speech.
I have range.
You do, occasionally.
The practical inflection is the BigQuery integration. Google says users will be able to run advanced regression and classification with an AI.predict SQL command. That puts the model beside the data and lowers the activation energy dramatically. A data analyst who would never package a Python training pipeline can at least try a prediction inside an existing warehouse workflow.
That's the adoption path. The research model is interesting, but the SQL surface is what turns it into a product decision. If the defaults are sensible, the costs are visible, and the outputs come with enough diagnostics to avoid false confidence,
I'm cautiously sold on the direction. The architecture is more than branding, and the synthetic data problem is addressed in a way that makes engineering sense. I'm still waiting to see how it behaves on distribution shifts and ugly schemas, because real tables have missingness, leakage, weird identifiers, and targets that are only meaningful after 3 meetings.
The enterprise agent future has meetings in it, and apparently so does the tabular foundation model future.
Sadly, yes.
We'll leave the TabFM model and the Google research repositories in the show notes. And Cody, no wellness leaderboard next episode.
I'm already collecting the missing values.
That's enough exploring next for one Wednesday. See you next time.